Hello, I'm Jane Johnson, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood, and it really is good to be back with a shiny new series of the podcast. We're going to be dropping this podcast weekly with a series of guests, some of which I'll be interviewing and others I'll be handing over the mic. Our aim at Careering Into Motherhood is to make life as a working mother that little bit easier. And I passionately believe that coaching and a supportive community are absolutely fundamental to that. It's why we have a partnership with over 60 different coaches who can help you with anything from changing careers to parenting children with special educational needs, going through divorce or other relationship challenges, to launching a business of your own. All the support and advice from our coaches is available on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And don't forget, the Careering Into Motherhood community is also available to you over on Facebook. Just search for our name and apply to join the group. We've got 11,000 other mums who will welcome you with open arms, and you can meet and engage with our coaches there as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. And let's get this interview started. My guest today is Joanna Lott. Joanna is a professional coach. However, her business is actually focused on helping coaches who are going into the business of coaching. The coaching industry has seen enormous growth rates in the last decade. What used to be the preserve of execs in the corner office went through a bit of a makeover with an influx of life coaches. And now the industry is in quite an unusual place. It's unregulated and largely misunderstood. You can find a coach who can help you with anything, from changing careers to parenting to launching a business, relationship coaching, and obviously career coaching. At best, coaching can be described as life-changing, and it really can be that. But at worst, coaches are seen as peddlers of mythical snake oil. And yet it can be an incredibly rewarding career and provide you with a portable vocation where you can manage your own profit and loss, you manage your own work hours, and even select clients who feel right for you. But in all of this, a lot of coaches go into the industry not really understanding how to run a business, and often not even having a business plan. Joanna changes and challenges all of that. Her no-nonsense, very candid approach, brimming with authenticity and genuine kindness, is what gets her clients. So let's lift the lid on this industry and understand how on earth you go about starting and running a business as a coach.
Welcome, Joanna. We've known each other, it feels like we've known each other for a few years sort of professionally, but we've never actually sat down and had a chance to really talk about this thorny world of running a coaching business. So, welcome, and I'm really looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, no, me too.
So I wanted to start. I think, you know, we originally crossed paths because I saw some of the content that you were putting out about the coaching industry, and I felt, as I think you do as well, that there is so much sort of fluff. Mm. Let's say there's not an awful lot of honesty spoken about this as an industry, and your voice and your posts were so refreshing because you were talking about, you know, what coaching is, how powerful it can be, but also how hard it is as a coach to really make a business out of the coaching world.
Yeah, totally. I think it's because when you train as a coach, you learn that you can help anyone with anything. Mm. Which sadly in marketing terms doesn't work. Mm. So then you know, you've spent a year or so doing this qualification, you're all excited, the joy of coaching, and you want everyone to be coach. But sadly, the rest of the population have no idea what it is, or, you know, there's this mystery around it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, unless we can really communicate it really clearly, it's really hard to turn that qualification into clients.
Mm. And I think it's safe to say, obviously, we work, both of us in our businesses work with lots and lots of coaches. And certainly the coaches we work with, they go into it because they really want to help people. And in our case, they really want to help working mums to find fulfillment in any area, lots of different areas of their lives, which is brilliant. And I think we should both, well, I certainly feel, and I'm sure you do as well, that I believe coaching is phenomenal. It genuinely has the power to change direction, change your career, change your life. But those are very, very big claims. And, you know, the coaching industry, I was reading actually when I was researching for this, that it's estimated to be worth somewhere between 9 and 10 billion in the UK alone. So it's a huge industry, but therefore there's also an awful lot of opportunity for people around that industry to try and make a lot of money. Could we just start, I mean, what the difference between, let's just talk about what exactly coaching is, because it can be a bit murky.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a really hard thing to explain, isn't it? It's basically just giving someone space to come to their own answers. And actually what most people who haven't done the qualification think is it's telling people what to do. So it's surprisingly opposite to what most of the industry or most of the people out there who aren't qualified coaches think coaching is. So therefore there's that disparity between what qualified coaches know coaching is and what 50% of the population who maybe aren't qualified coaches, but they're calling themselves coaches, because it is an unregulated industry and anyone can call themselves a coach, whether they are qualified or not. So there's that disparity, but basically it's just giving someone time, space to think, to ask them good questions, to really help them to move forward in any area of their life.
And I don't know if you... I'm able to put it into words, but the difference as well between coaching and therapy, because again, I think there can be some confusion, you know, if it is it just going and talking to someone, or is it something more than that? How would you differentiate the two?
Yeah, totally. So the difference is that therapy is kind of backwards looking. So you're looking into your past, childhood and that kind of thing. And coaching will recognize that lots of the problems that come up will be due to your past, but they'll be trying to think about, okay, so, you know, what could you do from what you've learned? You know, what options are there? Whereas I don't think therapy really plans for, okay, what are your next steps? It's more like just deep healing in that moment rather than forward planning. That's the difference really with therapy and coaching.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a really good way of explaining it. Thank you. So how did you come into the world of coaching? What's been your own career path?
Yeah, exactly. Well, mine was so many mothers' journeys, really, of my daughter starting school and my son was a childminder. And then I couldn't get to and from London to my HR job anymore. So I did what most women do, which is look for a part-time admin job or look for a job in a school so you can get like school hours and term time only work. And I was just so fortunate that despite getting a £10 an hour admin job, because it was term time only, school hours only, that it was actually an admin job in a coach training organization. Right. So it was just like fate at work. And I'm so lucky that came about. Really? So I worked there. Actually what I did was I took the job and then I said, actually, you know what? I can't take this job. I only took it because I loved the sound of coaching, but it's just not financially viable for me. So they said, how about you do the coaching qualification, which was £4,000, the ILM level 7 I did, in return for your admin support. So I ended up keeping my HR job in London and slogging my guts out in the evening at £10 an hour, which I think took 9 months of therefore with a 1 and a 3-year-old a 2 and a 4-year-old and 3 jobs basically, because I took another job in a school as well to try and give me the confidence to quit my main job. Really? So I had 3 jobs and training as a coach and a 2 and a 4-year-old.
Oh my goodness, Joanna. So
it was a lot. But fortunately, eventually, after 9 months of slogging it out, doing the admin work for this coach, you know, to pay for this coach training qualification, I kind of got to the end. I felt really guilty, but obviously I knew at that point I just needed to not do admin anymore. It was driving me nuts, and be able to actually do something with my qualification. I just gained the courage slowly to quit one job, quit the next job, quit the next job. And eventually, went all in on my coaching business.
Amazing. Gosh. And I think that is the way. I mean, a lot of our coaches have had coaching themselves and then, see how powerful it is and how fascinating it is to be able to help other women. And then they decide to train as coaches themselves. But you were actually right there in the industry, in the business of coaching.
I think the most powerful learning for me was, well, obviously training to become a coach, but also I used to administer a program which was helping coaches set up their coaching business, but it was an email only program. So basically we used to send over, I think it was 19 weeks, an email per week going, this week, now your niche, next week, now your offer. And, what I learned from obviously administering that program for 9 months is that it's not always the practical things that are in the way. If we could learn everything we needed to know from emails and books, then we would all be like absolutely sorted in life. But sadly, most of the time it's your emotions and you need someone to talk to really get your clarity. And there was just so much missing from that program that I was desperate to be able to provide to the learners, because I just could see from the open rates of the emails that, they weren't getting opened obviously after week two or three. Yeah. And after myself trying to do the program, it's just not possible to do it alone without support. Mm. So that was also my learning from working there, which kind of sent me on the path that I'm now at. Mm.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership program in 2024. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you, and we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood, and as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive, and I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
Yes. And, I think it's interesting that we're both in this industry and seeing how crowded it is becoming. It seems every which way you turn, somebody else is just training as a coach. So knowing that you are going in to launch a business, as I say, I think a lot of people go into it because they love the idea of being able to help other people, but not necessarily coming out the other end thinking, right, now I'm a business owner. And they are quite different skills. I often talk about that. Jeff Bezos doesn't drive the Amazon delivery vans. Do you know what I mean? He's not his product. So running a business is quite different. And I know your business now is very much focused on helping coaches to think as business owners and act as business owners. Are you noticing that the market has become more crowded, and how important is it for coaches to differentiate themselves within that market?
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah, it's way more crowded. I did my own research actually since I started on this journey in 2020. I think there were 1.5 million coach results when you search for the word coach on LinkedIn. And then by 2023, it went up to 8.5 million. Mm. So that's from 1.5 million when I searched for the word coach in 2020 to 2023 was then 8.5 million. Weirdly enough, actually, I searched the other day, and actually, I don't know why this might, but it's actually gone down to 4.5 million results for the word coach. So I think that is because somebody said that LinkedIn were cutting down on like bots and things like that. Yeah. So I think they've got lots of them out of the market. And also, I think sadly, people did train as coaches in 2020 and they've actually therefore probably left the market. So they're my two guesses as to why those numbers, that number has dropped quite a lot in the last 6 to 8 months, I would say.
Yeah, because of course 2020 would have been peak COVID pandemic time when people were thinking, oh goodness, you know, I'm at home, what can I do? The coaching world went online. It was already you know, quite advanced in that regard, but suddenly everybody was accepting having their coach online and via Zoom. And it, so I think it's really interesting. It proves just how hard it is to make a living as a coach. And I just want to talk a little bit more about this idea of what you get from a coach, how they can help you, because I think I'm interested in your thoughts, whether you agree that, you know, we talk passionately about the power of coaching, absolutely no doubt in my mind, but from a client's perspective who maybe finds herself in a role that she no longer is enjoying or working for a manager who she feels is really, really toxic, or maybe struggling with kids at home and just wants some help with, you know, parenting coaching is a thing as well. It's not especially clear, isn't it? I don't think the coaching industry itself is great at its own PR. Why do you think it's quite hard to articulate, I guess, for a client, isn't it, what the outcomes will be?
Yeah, totally. It is really hard, and I certainly didn't understand it enough until I had my first coaching session. I remember when I worked in HR, obviously we occasionally people had coaching, but I had never personally been coached when I was an employee, and it was all this help you reach your potential. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, well, what do you mean? Like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. I was completely confused. And what I learned, so then I luckily did have my first coach 4.5 years ago now when I was leaving my organization. Mm. And actually, I'm still with him 4.5 years on. And so I think that, you know, the best way I can explain it is if you say something like, you know, so what I said at the time when I was applying for this admin job and thought that was it, you know, that I'm just going to have to get an admin job, there's no other options. Mm. And I said, you know, I'm not a business person. And he said, what do you mean? Mm. Like, and then I had to clarify that I had worked in a business for 20 years and I could, and then I don't know, it just in that moment, I saw I could do anything I wanted, and I saw it wasn't true that these were the only two options, either get a job at a school or get an admin job. And he just asked me questions to help me to see that I was limiting myself, and actually what if there were other possibilities out there. So yeah, that's like a practical example of how you just live in this, they call it like a paradigm, your view of the world. And my view of the world was that I was an employee type of person. My sister has always loved entrepreneurship, and I always called myself, oh, I'd never want to do that. I'm an employee type of person. I'm really good when I'm told what to do, and I do it really well. And it's just my idea of absolute hell, this employee, this entrepreneurship thing.
That's funny.
And then, it's so funny now that then I realized that was just a limiting belief. Mm. It wasn't actually true. Yeah. That's a real life example.
How did you go from being an employee type person, as you say, to, I mean, you've now written a book, you run your own very successful business supporting other coaches, but you have also worked as a coach supporting clients directly. How did you find that education or that transition from employee to business owner?
I mean, it was excruciating.
At least you're honest.
It was the worst thing in the world, like to lose your identity and go from being able to say, I work in HR and everyone know you've got a really good, important job and really easy for your family and friends to understand exactly what you do and how very important you are, to then, oh, I'm a coach, and everyone like, what is that weird thing? And then I felt completely worthless when I first made the transition. Yeah, it brought up, yeah, I just lost my entire identity of being like a right-hand person to a CEO of a business, or felt, you know, really understanding my place in the world, to then being very lost without anyone who really understood, because I didn't really know any other entrepreneurs at the time. All of my friends are like employed, so it was such a hard thing to go through. And then again, thanks to the power of coaching, to be able to continuously reflect on, is it true you're nothing now because you can't say your job title clearly, or like what other options are there out there? And yeah, honestly, it's just due to the constant coaching, the constant reflection that I've had to enable me to continuously bust through all of those limiting beliefs to see that I can do anything I want.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Actually, I have never thought of it like that. But you know, obviously when you're employed, it is possible, I'm not saying everyone does this, but it's possible to hide behind almost the brand of your employer. And then suddenly when you go out on your own, it's so public. And then almost you find that every time you meet people, certainly in the early days, people, how's it going? You know, there isn't a business owner out there who within the first 6, 12, or even 18 months can honestly turn around and say, yeah, it's amazing, it's great, we're doing so well. And so, yeah, you're suddenly really exposed and it's really public. I had never thought of it like that, but you're absolutely right. But you, I mean, the thing is, Joanna, it's so clear what you do. I think you know, as an outsider looking in, I think you've clearly found your thing. You're driven by it. You know your niche, you know your audience. And I know that's something we try and really talk to our coaches about, but why do you think it is so important? How has that helped you? And also, if you wouldn't mind, talk a little bit about your journey, because again, I think there's this expectation that when you come out with, decide to launch your business, you've got to know exactly where you're going, and that's just going to be a linear path, which is it?
no, definitely not. And so yeah, so I think I know, I'm lucky enough to know my audience because I was them. So I started out in executive coaching and then realized I didn't like hearing the limiting beliefs that I had of like, oh, well, you know, nothing I can do because I've got to stay here because, you know, I work at PwC and my family and friends think this is a good job, so there's no other option. And I found that really triggering at the time because I'd finally realized that wasn't true. So I didn't feel like I was emotionally able to deal with the constant, you know, I just discovered entrepreneurship. I knew that there was something that they could do. But they didn't know that yet. And it was too raw for me to be really good in that space. So, you know, I did it and I enjoyed it and had some amazing clients, but it wasn't for me at the time. So I transitioned into career coaching, which I absolutely loved, because then I was helping people to get out of that situation, which is exactly what I'd obviously just done. And then slowly, I realized, obviously, as soon as someone would say, I want to start my business, I would like light up. And I was so happy that they weren't going to go and get another job where they were going to be trapped and controlled for the rest of their life, because that was what my employee journey was like. Trapped and controlled. That's exactly what it felt like. So I just loved helping people go through that discovery of the fact that they can create something that will work for them. And also, I think I was super visible and really went for it in my business. Therefore, other coaches I'd literally spend 5 hours a week on the calls to other coaches trying to help them build their business. Because, despite the fact I didn't want to do any of it when I started, like I said, I didn't want to be visible. I found it really awful. I don't know what flipped, but something went and I was like, I'm all in. And therefore I started helping people on the side, you know, with their coaching business alongside my career coaching business. And eventually it's just grown, you know, really big. Yeah. So therefore it's my sole focus now. And that was a really scary moment because I'd worked so hard to build up my coaching business to then basically start from scratch again with a new niche, a new website, all of the things.
And a new audience isn't it? That's the thing, or new potential clients,
Yeah, it's literally like starting your business from scratch when you change niche, for sure. Mm. But again, I think it's therefore the courage of entrepreneurship, of making a decision and not knowing if that decision is going to work out or not. Like, that is the true joy or otherwise of being an entrepreneur. Of having to trust yourself and know that you will have to deal with the consequences of that choice, but trusting yourself enough to know you can make another decision and make another choice after that one.
Yeah, you know, and so many times I've thought, I really wish I had a co-founder, which I do. I wish I had a co-founder, but then I look back and I think, well, now we're too far in to, and it feels like your baby, it literally, when you launch a business and when you start going with it. And as you say, I love that point we made about you have to trust your decision, and then you have to trust yourself to make the next decision based on the result of that first one. And it's just constant. I mean, I feel really sorry for our husbands because I just talk about the business all the time. And I think he's just, because I have nobody else to talk to about it. And when you're in an employer, you know, when you're with an employer, even a small business, you have other people with other areas of expertise that, you know, you can draw upon to inform those decisions. Whereas when you're on your own, it's you and your coach.
Totally. I mean, but even with a coach, you know, I think, I would love to have someone, like you say, a co-founder, but like you, it feels too risky. You know, I've worked so hard for what I've built. But like you're saying, it is, I've been talking to my husband a lot lately. So I think that is also a real risk of entrepreneurship, that it is all consuming. And he has been sort of saying, you know, why are we doing what, you know, because I'm so driven by my mission that it does come at the cost of myself and my family a lot of the time. In all honesty, it really, really does, because of just what you just said. You've got no one else to talk to. Therefore, the minute he comes in, I'm like, this happened today. You're like, what should I do? Or like, you know, it's all consuming. Yeah. And therefore, I think seeking out so much more support than you think you need is really vital.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. I've never really thought about that, but you definitely need... When you go back to writing your business plan or thinking about your business, overestimate the amount of support and help you're going to need, whereas people tend to underestimate it, I think, in my experience. So let's talk the nitty gritty in terms of, so you work with coaches, you talk about your sort of your mission or your vision. What is that? How would you describe what drives you?
Yeah, so I think for me, it's about helping women make money on their terms around their family. That's my main driver, is back to, you know, showing women that there is another option than the school job or the part-time admin job, you know, the low-paid work that women end up having to take or feeling like they have to take because they don't know any other option, which is kind of where I was. So I think most of us are usually trying to save our former self and like show the way to our former self. So that's certainly for me, of like helping people see that you can make money and make a difference and be a mother.
Yeah, it's a fairly tall order, but you know, similar, you know, I agree the same way. There has to be a different way. Funnily enough, when I started out, and I had a fantastic coach who really, really helped me. She was very much about the business as well. And she said to me, I don't agree that you have to be this sort of hard-nosed alpha style woman just to be successful. That there is another way. It is possible to run a successful business based on your own values, whatever those values are, and, you know, to do it around your life. But it just, chances are, it probably takes longer and you probably have a bit more heartache along the way.
Yeah. And it's a shame in a way that it is the only option, because I do sometimes think, you know, it's exhausting, isn't it, being an entrepreneur? And how good would it be to be able to just go to a job and come home again? But I didn't find that there was, I don't know, obviously I just had a bad experience perhaps, so I didn't find that there was that option out there for me to be able to do that. But I do obviously would love more employers to be able to create those opportunities, because, you know, you go into entrepreneurship for freedom, for your family, so you can be around. But the balance is difficult, you know, as we both know. You know, luckily, yeah, great, I do term time only work, I'm off now till January, but it's not like it's not going to be occupying my every waking thought while I'm on holiday.
So your business of coaching program, Joanna, is your sort of flagship program, where people get lots and lots of one-to-one time with you, lots of fantastic resources. How did you come up with the structure of that program? And just talk a little bit about the structure, because I think it's really applicable to people in any sort of entrepreneurship, on any entrepreneurship journey.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's completely applicable to all service-based businesses and product-based businesses probably actually too. So I would say start with why you're doing your business. That's how I start, because unless you really know why and what your financial goals are, then you will give up pretty easily. So firstly, yeah, light the fire, know why you're doing it. Then figure out who you're helping. You only ever get paid to solve a problem, pretty much. So either to move people away from pain or move them towards pleasure is what we pay for in life, usually to move away from pain. So figure out what problem you are solving and who for. And then how are you going to actually do that? So what's your offer? What's your service? How does it solve their problem? And how to articulate that in a way that they understand. And then how to get seen by as many people as possible. So your marketing and sales, and how you're going to do that in terms of public speaking or social media or advertising. What's your method to get your service seen out there? And then obviously, finally, client delivery. So how are you going to create the most amazing service so more people, they refer more people to you, and you obviously get to create amazing. The impact that you're doing.
Yeah, as you say, it's so valid on it, no matter what your business is selling. And I think that's the other thing, isn't it? That often when we talk with coaches, or coaches have that really, really close relationship with their clients, and often talking about some really, really personal things, it can feel really jarring, this idea, but actually you are selling a product, but that product is yourself and your intellectual property, and you are selling a service nevertheless. And I think it's also a lot of the coaches we talk to, and I'm sure you're the same, that they don't want to feel like they're selling. You know, there is a big, big salesy world of coaching out there, and that is so far removed from the coaches that we work with. Our coaches want to support other women, and as we talked about, help them feel more fulfilled. So, but we can't shy away from the fact that if you want this to be a business, you have to sell something. So I just want to, I mean, we could talk for hours on this, but in the interest of time, I sort of have one last question, or just topic that I'd love you to cover, is this idea of putting yourself out there as a business owner, but particularly as a coach, and this murky, murky world of social media, and whether how you have come to terms with the idea that you do have to, you know, you can find clients and talk about what you offer on social media, but it doesn't always excite a lot of people, that the idea that you have to be there, you know, do you have to be there pointing at words on Instagram and dancing around your kitchen on TikTok, or is there a different way?
Yeah, there's definitely a different way. I've never done a reel in my life. I don't know how to. And I've managed to create a successful business. And I think what I noticed from working with my clients is you need to have that mindset shift of you can make a difference through your marketing. So I held a 2-hour free workshop this morning, as you know, to help coaches plan for a brilliant 2024. like that is an absolute joy. And now I am getting messages like as we speak saying, thank you so much. What a gift. So I think if you can turn your marketing into how much value you can create for people, no matter whether they are going to become a client or not, and knowing that everything you're doing is like watering the seeds of potential clients, and for them spreading the word about you. So fine, they might not want to buy from me, but I can pretty much guarantee they'll send five people my way who do want to buy from me, because they'll say, what an amazing workshop, that made a huge difference to me. So I think it's about having that mindset shift of, I can make a difference through my marketing. So it being something you absolutely love doing versus something you have to do to get clients. Like, and don't get me wrong, we all get in that place sometimes, but I think as much as we can, we just need to connect with real people and make a real difference, and eventually the money will come from doing that.
That's so true. Such great advice. Thank you very much. And I've got your words ringing in my ear about the belief that you can make a difference. And I know, you know, that does come back to that thing about running a values-led small business, that you can make a difference. It's, but you've got to go and work with Joanna and understand what that difference is that you're going to make to clients. But thank you ever so much. Thanks for your time. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it does take a lot of reminding, like literally my work. Yes, I'm a business coach. Yes, I'll try and make them niche and do their offer and do their marketing and all of the practical things. But I think it's really easily underestimated how much that emotional support of me reminding people why they are brilliant, which is what I pretty much do with my clients nearly every day, because I think it's that if you feel good, you'll take action. And therefore, if I can help my clients to feel good, they will go and do the marketing and things that I want them to do for their own for their own benefit of their own business. So yeah, I think you can easily underestimate the emotional support required as well as the practical support required in building any business at all, really.
Definitely. Thank you so much. We'll put links and things in the show notes where people can find out more about you. But Joanna, also, you're on social media, you have your own podcast. Do you want to just tell people where they can find you?
Yes, amazing. Yeah, I have a podcast called Women in the Coaching Arena. I record every week and I absolutely love it. It's been super well received. So yeah, do find me on there. And again, it's for coaching, but to be honest, it's relevant to all businesses. So any business is very welcome. And I'm generally on LinkedIn, Joanna Lott, L-O-T-T, and my website is joannalottcoaching.com. So yeah, you'll find me on all of those places.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. So much of what Joanna said today resonates with me as a business owner. The highs and lows, finding your niche, being clear about how you are helping people, but also remembering that the journey of an entrepreneur can be really quite a lonely one. So you need to factor in just how much additional help you're going to need. If you are a coach or you're thinking of starting a coaching business and you'd like more information about joining Joanna's program, or indeed joining our own partnership program for coaches, please see the show notes or head to our website. I hope this episode has helped to make life that little bit easier for you as a working mum, or as someone who wants to support working mums and thinks they deserve a bit more help. I'm Jane Johnson. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to leave us a review, and I'll be back again next week with another brilliant guest.